Hello and welcome to another edition of Picardy's Balls to the Wall podcast.
Picardy!
I'm Picardy editor John T. Mark, and I'm joined today by only one person, Sibonga Sani Gumbi, football writer.
Yes, John. Welcome. It's just the two of us today.
Yeah. We are here to discuss all things football in Mzansi and beyond, and there is a bit of beyond today because last night in Abidjan, in the Ivory Coast, there on sort of the western bit, that little bit of Africa that sticks out to the west, South Africa drew 1-1 with the Ivory Coast in an international friendly. Themba Zwane scored for Bafana in the 8th minute, a brilliant finish from a good move involving Teboho Mokoena, his Sundowns teammate. Ivory Coast equalised in the second half through Sebastian Haller, but all in all, it was a better performance from Bafana than the one they put up in Friday's friendly at FNB Stadium against Swaziland, where they drew 0-0, though in truth it couldn't have been much worse. Sibonga Sani, did you watch the game? Were you up late
yes,
at night?
Yes, I watched both, unfortunately. You know, yeah. I just like getting myself hurt.
You're just a dedicated South African football journalist, that's what you're trying to say.
Yeah. You know, I was very disappointed, especially on Friday. Not that we drew with the Swatini, but that we could not post them. That they had most of the ball, I think. We were playing a bigger nation, you know. They were up to the task. We never really dominated them like I expected us to, because I would understand if we didn't get goals, because we know it's a South African phenomenon that we are not very sharp in terms of finishing our chances. But in that game, I didn't see any clear chances. I didn't see anything that looks like a Bafana that can go and do well at AFCON in January. So, I guess last night maybe they did better, but still it wasn't really what you'd expect because Ivory Coast were there for the taking, I think.
More interesting, he's not that impressed with Bafana's performance against the Ivory Coast. Against Swaziland, I agree with what you said. It was an insipid display. Hugo Broos accused his players of lacking passion after the game, basically saying that he was very surprised by how bad they were. There was one chance, clear chance, that I remember before actually Themba Zwane in the early stages of the game. He was clean through, but he, on that occasion, hit a pretty tame shot straight at the keeper. This occasion in Abidjan at the Felix Houphouët Boigny Stadium. A very nice new stadium in Abidjan, or at least refurbished. He took his chance. He drilled it into the roof of the net after a good cross from Teboho Mokoena. Bafana were not able to take any other chances. There was one for Bongo Kuhle Longwane in the first half. In the second half, Kuliso Mudau, I thought, was exceptional. Yeah. Proved himself really should be the first choice right back, in my opinion, for Bafana. He had a great chance in the second half to make it 2-0, but dragged his shot wide. Lebo Motiba also had an opportunity. They didn't manage to take them. And Sebastian Haller, it's not a very good idea to leave Sebastian Haller unmarked from crosses inside the penalty area. He is very good in the air, and Bafana did it twice. In the first half, he headed just over the bar, but in the second half, I thought Roman Williams could have done a bit better. He didn't seem to know whether to come off his line or not.
Yeah.
But yeah, that kind of chance he wasn't going to miss. Again, completely unmarked. I would be a bit more optimistic, though. It was the Ivory Coast in the Ivory Coast in front of their home fans. They have some quality players, perhaps not quite of the quality of the days of Yaya Toure and Didier Drogba, but they have some quality players. Haller's a striker at Borussia Dortmund, Seko Fofana. A lot of their players now play in Saudi Arabia, in the new Saudi Pro League. Wilfried Zaha is one of those. Seko Fofana also. Ghislain Konan, the left, who was playing sort of left wing back. They've got some good talent.
Yeah.
And perhaps overall you definitely, well, they're ranked higher in Africa than Bafana, and overall you'd expect them to perhaps win that game at home. So a draw's not a bad result. Should boost the confidence a bit going into the bigger games. I mean, ultimately, it doesn't really matter what happened in these friendlies as long as we do well in the two World Cup qualifiers in November against Benin and Rwanda, and in the Africa Cup of Nations finals itself next year in the Ivory Coast. So it was probably a good experience for the team to soak up some of the atmosphere there and get a feeling for what the conditions might be like in January, although they're in a completely different part of the Ivory Coast. They're not in Abidjan. But, yeah, they should still have got a feel for it. The group, of course, which was done last week, contains... in fact, we recorded the last podcast just before it happened, so we can talk about it. It contains Tunisia, Mali, and Namibia. So Namibia, they'll be very familiar with. Mali and Tunisia, they haven't got a great record against. Although, in terms of what they could have got, it's not a bad draw.
Yeah, I think it was a fair draw. It was very good for us. We can get a draw against Mali. If we get a draw against Mali, then I think we'd be through to the quarterfinals. And also because the best third place team also qualifies.
Yeah, the last 16.
I think that really will work for us, you know. Hmm. So Namibia, yes, we drew against them, but it was a friendly game. We know, we understand that. And so I believe it's a winnable group. We can even top it and just come out as winners and see what comes next after that. Because I think if you come out as a winner, you stand a better chance of progressing. Because firstly, you have the confidence that you topped your group, and also you play a team that were second place that are not really that tough in their group, I believe.
Yeah, I mean, look, it's actually, you could say that reaching the last 16 of the Africa Cup of Nations finals these days is not that hard. I mean, there's a 75% chance you're going to make it, basically, because 16 of the 24 teams in the group stages will play in the last 16. In fact, that was exemplified in 2019 when Stuart Baxter's Bafana were pretty damn dreadful in the group stages, but still somehow scraped into the last 16. Then they put up their one good performance of the tournament, really, when they beat hosts Egypt, and then they got knocked out in the quarterfinals by Nigeria. But it isn't that hard if you think about it in that sense. You probably need one win. Probably beating Namibia even will be enough. And you might need an extra point depending on how well the other sort of third place teams finish. So they should have a good chance in that group. And considering that they could have got, I think the Ivory Coast are with Nigeria. I think you've got Ghana and Egypt in the same group, and you've got Senegal and Cameroon in the same group. So considering they could have got those two in their group, having Tunisia and Mali is not as bad, although, you know, Tunisia almost always qualify for the World Cup finals. They're a strong team in Africa, although they don't win the AFCON that much. I mean, they won it, I think, last time when they hosted it in 2004. And Mali, they're all right, but they're not as good as they used to be. They've still got some top players like Yves Bissouma and some other players, but they haven't got the likes of Seydou Keita that they used to have, who's an absolute legend. So I think Bafana, you know, they definitely got a chance of getting out of that group.
Big chance. Mm.
And making it into the last 16. But I do think they should target at least the quarterfinals as an achievement. Because, like I said, I don't think you should really call getting to the last 16 of the AFCON an achievement when there's eight teams.
It's really easy to get there.
There's only eight teams who won't get there out of 24. So it's a bit of a weird situation, really, in some sense. But they wanted to increase the size of the tournament, so CAF always looking for ways to increase their revenue, which is where we'll move on to now, because the announcement, well, not really the announcement, but the confirmation this week, the Mamelodi Sundowns will be playing in the CAF African Football League. They will be playing Petro de Luanda. I think the first game is this Sunday in Angola in the quarterfinals. $4 million
for the winner.
$1 million just for turning up. Not bad work if you can get it. You could argue that Sundowns are the one club who don't actually need the money.
Yeah.
But, I mean, the PSL Board of Governors finally relented and decided, okay, you can play, but there was obviously a bit of compromise involved because Sundowns are going to have to field a weakened team this evening as we record this podcast Wednesday in the Carling knockout, the new Telkom knockout, if you like, last 16. They're playing TS Galaxy, and all seven of their Bafana players are not going to be able to play because they are only landing back in South Africa at midnight tonight. So, you've got that situation where they've obviously agreed, well, we'll field a weakened team. So do you think Sundowns...
Do you think Sundowns has a weakened team?
Well, they have a team that... They have a core of players that regularly play for them, so yes.
Yeah.
But is it weaker than any other team in the PSL? Probably not.
Yeah. I think it's a wet situation that Sundowns find themselves in, you know. Because I think they'll have to compromise one of these tournaments. Either the Carling Knockout Cup or the Africa African Football Cup. What is it? African
it's called the football African League. Football League.
Yes. Because I don't think they can fight on all these fronts. They've got too many cups going on because they might even, you know, their chances in the Champions League, you know, might be affected by these competitions that they are in because it would be an overload on the players. I was hoping that with the compromise being reached, that SAFA would say, okay, Sundowns players can stay behind and not go with Bafana Bafana to Ivory Coast, not just to play the Carling Cup, but to also be, you know, to get that rest before they travel to Angola. Now they come back here and then they'll be preparing to go to Angola again, and, you know, it's too much traveling for them. And it might affect them at some point. I know that we always say it's not an excuse because teams in Europe play more than 50 games per season. They play more than so many. But in Africa, it's the traveling that is the that is a big point of all of this. It's not in the number of games, but the traveling is not as easy. You know, you don't just go straight to that country easily. You have to go past sometimes Europe to get there. So it's going to take its toll on Sundowns, and they'll need to really prioritize some tournaments ahead of others. I understand this one they couldn't miss because it's a brainchild of their president, Patrice Motsepe. So they couldn't come get out of it. And the other two teams that could go in their place did not qualify somehow.
Well, yeah, and I mean, as much as Patrice Motsepe had to relinquish chairmanship of Mamelodi Sundowns.
No, he's the lifetime president.
When he took over as president of CAF, his son, and his son, Tlopi Motsepe, is the chairman now. Yeah. So there's very much an involvement there from the Motsepe family. I do think our own Tshwane correspondent, Katleho Modiba, wrote an article this week where he did say that Sundowns were making plans to get their players straight from Abidjan to Angola. So I don't know how that's going to work out. I did say Sundowns players were only landing at midnight with Bafana squad. They may not be coming with the Bafana squad at all. We'll have to see. But like you say, there is a lot of travel involved. It is a very short tournament. It's under a month long. I think November 11th is the final.
Yeah.
So it's not very long. So perhaps, you know, it won't actually affect them that much in terms of the Champions League and in terms of the league. I do think in the Carling knockout, it kind of depends on how these second stringers, do they want to show that they're worthy of a place permanently in the team? It depends how they do. It all depends on them a little bit, and obviously on the performance of, firstly, TS Galaxy on Wednesday as we speak now, and further going further forward in the competition. But I do think
Don't forget that TS Galaxy were the first team to beat Sundowns last season.
Well, they beat them in the league. Yeah.
You know, so they have that. They have Sundowns' number.
Well, I don't think anyone has Sundowns' number, but they did manage to beat them. So a good another feather in the cap for.
Oh, but now that Villegas is not there, maybe it's because it was apparently credited to Villegas for having helped the technical team about how to get Sundowns. So.
And he gave them some inside information. Some
inside information, yeah.
Well, we'll have to see how that one pans out for Sundowns. I did see an interview this week with CAF, Hare, who used to be the media officer for the PSL Lux September. He's now CAF head of commercial and television. I don't know if I've got his title wrong. Yeah. I apologize. But he was saying that teams in Europe play like 60 games a season, and teams in Africa play far less, so it's not actually that much of an impact on them to have a few more games to play. It's not a big tournament, I mean, in terms of teams. And it, for CAF, it's important for them to find new ways of making money because they want to expand their revenue stream, and they have got a sponsorship with Visit Saudi. So the Saudis
are clearly... Visit Rwanda.
No, it's Visit Saudi. It's not Visit Rwanda. It's the Saudi Tourism Board.
Is it?
Yeah. So they have got a sponsorship there. And I mean, the Saudis are clearly flooding the market with money at the moment. So I think there's a view, obviously.
But for me, it is what Tim Sugazi said. He was worried that this might kill the Champions League or the CAF Confederation Cup because teams will see the money there and want to play in that one more than they want to play in the Champions League because it's less games. But big money for that one.
Yeah, I mean, you do wonder also how Carling feel about their tournament being slightly, well, you can't really blame Sundowns or whoever for it, but being slightly disrespected.
Yeah.
In terms of now you haven't got a full strength Sundowns. I mean, did they expect that when they decided they were going to have the tournament? I don't think so, because this African Football League has, I'm sure, come way after that. But it's not very... I don't think the sponsors will be... They won't say anything publicly, obviously, but I don't think they'll be best pleased with the situation. But Sundowns will say, well, you know, they've been invited. They're going to participate. The PSL have agreed that they can participate. They've followed all procedure. They've agreed to take a hit and play with a weakened side against TS Galaxy. And going forward, probably in the next few games, if they progress in the CAF African Football League, they'll have to do the same thing. And it's just going to add more games to their schedule, and they'll have to cope with that. They already have a hectically busy schedule, and now it's just going to get even busier. So we'll see how they manage to cope with that. I wonder if also for Hugo Bruce, maybe just to finish off for today, he won't mind, because he talks a lot about wanting players to play in African football and wanting them to play bigger opposition. And obviously if Sundowns make it past Petro, they've got, you know, you've got Wydad in the competition, you've got Al Ahly in the competition, you've got big teams. And it does really show. I mean, you look at the performance of Kaliso Madao against
Ivory Coast.
You look at the performance of Teboho Mokoena again. You look at Temba Zwane got the goal. Mvala, even though he almost gifted a goal to the Ivory Coast, he had a good game all round. You know, there are so many Sundowns players. Odiba plays on the left, didn't have the best game, but he's still there. There are so many Sundowns players that basically prop up, if you like, the Bafana side, that he'll probably be absolutely fine with them getting as much competitive football, because it means they'll be more primed when the World Cup qualifiers come around and the AFCON comes around.
Let's hope for the best, but I'm hoping that Sundowns can play this weekend team in the league, because that's where we want people to catch them, you know. So well, that maybe when they, by the time they come, they get back to full strength, they are maybe 5 points behind one of these other teams that are chasing them, you know, so that we can have a better finish to the league than what we've had in the past 2 years.
We
deserve that.
I just think that even if Sundowns play in the CAF African Football League final on November the 11th, by November the 11th, there is not a chance anyone's going to be 5 points ahead of them in the DStv Premiership. They're so far ahead. Okay, we'll finish off there. Please do like Pakati on Facebook at Pakati with 3 A's. Follow us on Twitter at Pakati with 3 A's, and get your copy of the Pakati Supplement free when you buy the Citizen newspaper every Tuesday. We'll see you next time. Thanks, Bo, and
cheers.
Goodbye.